That was the sound of my booty cheeks clapping.
Tits.
Yeah.
And titties. Tits and titties. Tits and titties.
Rod,
tits,
I need to ask you something titties. Important. This is very important.
Okay. Shoot again.
Did you go on walkies today?
And the podcast is done forever, guys. Thanks for having it. Made it to episode 185. And Ken has finally pushed it over the edge. I was wondering when this shit show, like, circling drain of shit show fucking goddamn fucking shit fuck would die, and here we are.
You know, I wasn't going to do this. But if she's going to take a shot at you, I think it's fair game that we take a shot at her.
That's valid.
Go ahead. Rod,
did you know that Ken has not seen Candyman?
Oh, I'm not surprised by that.
She says, don't tell Rod this, but I've never seen that movie.
Brian, you know how long I bothered her to see Psycho Gorman? Like a year and a half?
Oh, yeah.
It was a really long time. And we are the Murder Movies podcast, and we're part of the Slash and Cash podcast network.
It's in the game, and thank you for telling me. I don't know why you felt the need to tell me. Ken, we're the murderous podcast.
Because, Ken, you're my partner in crime, and since when I murder you for talking about walkies, I'm going to need evidence to support that I'm your friend, that, like, you just pushed me over the limit and made me lose my goddamn mind, that, like, I need these pieces of evidence. I tried real hard. And got real far.
That's valid.
In the end, it didn't even matter.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. But yes, welcome. We are the Murder Moose podcast, as previously stated.
So
for those of you that aren't named Ken and, you know, need to be told.
It's true.
I
had to tell you guys, and Ken kind of knows about this. So Josh has this Plex server where he puts movies on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to watch the First Omen today. And I got very confused very quickly because you'll kind of understand why. I gave this whole shit show more time than I should have. But this movie starts that was supposed to be the First Omen. And this black lady rides into the desert. And I was like, okay, that's like where your Baba Sigula, your mama devil demon guy came from. But she goes into this thing and she's all dressed up and in desert garb, and then proceeds to put her titty over this like water source, and the water, and they show the nipple and everything, so you know it's her titty. She's not like urinating into the water, and then proceeds to shoot purple stuff into the water. And I was very confused, and I still don't know what this movie was. And then I proceed to watch 10 more minutes of this movie, and it's about these they're French people, but they're going to like Congo where this guy is from, and like he's going to marry her and they're pregnant. And I got very confused because I'm like, how does this involve a nun? I don't know what it is. I still don't know what it is.
Do you know what it is? It's to remind us of the good old days of LimeWire and BearShare.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, the number of times I downloaded a movie that said it was Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl or whatever, and it was actually some fucked up Bukkake video or some shit.
I mean, that sounds like you're judging.
No, I say that. Yeah. It's not like I was really disappointed every time or anything, but... Because I mean, it's still at the end of the day, at least I'm watching that.
I really need to know what this French like titty purple titty milk movie is, because I don't want to watch it.
Sorry,
you know, but I'm just gonna Google French purple titty milk movie.
Maybe it wasn't even French. I don't want to dedicate it to French because I watched a bunch of random movies this weekend, including Infested, which was French. Which is the spider movie.
Yeah.
They go crazy. And I guess that guy is going to be doing something else, at an Evil Dead movie or something like that.
Yeah, he is. They just tapped him to direct another Evil Dead film. They've got two Evil Dead movies in the works right now.
Yeah, it very much felt like Arachnophobia, like if you mixed Arachnophobia with like Evil Dead Rise or something like that. I really dug the movie. I thought it was really good, but like it was very odd at points, but I enjoyed it. And then I also watched Arcadia, which I want to say, you lying motherfuckers, they sell this movie as a Nick Cage movie, and not saying Nick Cage isn't in the movie, but he's like a supporting actor basically as a father for these two kids. And I'm like, and it's the kid from, it's the brother from It, the It movies, not the one who died.
The Georgie, but the other one.
Yeah, Bill or whatever. And
Bill, correct.
Him and this other kid are like the brothers, and they both have these terrible mullet haircuts. And
he played the Nazi boy masturbating in the bathroom in Knives Out. Have you guys seen Knives Out? Please tell me.
Oh, man. It's been a while since I have, so I don't remember that.
That's
scene,
literally what Daniel Craig says about him in that foghorn, leghorn voice. The Nazi boy masturbating in the bathroom.
Oh, I remember what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. But they both have these haircuts because Nicolas Cage has been cutting their hair for 15 years, and they're real, real terrible haircuts. But very much, I only want to say for that movie is that I did dig it, very much kind of like Quiet Place and that kind of stuff, but the monsters in that movie look like, I want you to picture this. What would happen if a gorilla fucked an ostrich? That's what the monsters look like.
What was it called again?
Arcadian.
Infested, or Arcadian, yeah. I'm talking about
Arcadian.
Arcadian, yeah.
But yeah, the monsters look like a gorilla fucked an ostrich, and that was the outcome of this. And I went on the streak where I haven't gone on the streak, like watching random horror movies for like a long time now. And I forgot. There was another one I forgot to tell you guys I watched last week, or I forgot to tell you, Ken, called like Wish You Were, or like You Were Hit Still Here or something. I forget what the fucking movie was called, but it was like this dude in a trailer park and some chick knocks on his door in the middle of a storm, and then weird shit happens. But like, I can't even think of the name of the movie because the poster was weird and everything like that. I don't know. I've been watching random movies because of my 2024, you know, kind of thing. Also, I don't know if either one of you guys saw this. Fall Guys get woken up this weekend, and then they were talking about it. Made other people talk about how nothing horror wise is opened worth a shit this year, and we're in May, and the number one opening box office weekend for any horror movie in 2024. Was Night Swim at $11 million.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. Abigail bombed, Immaculate bombed. Like, all these movies like have bombed.
Yeah, they're not making a lot of money.
But
Abigail is really good from what I hear, though.
It is.
I think a lot of that, honestly, comes from the fact that a lot of horror people, like, yeah, we want to go to theaters and we want to watch movies in theaters and everything, but a lot of us probably don't really want to, and we'd much rather just stay home. And because they're pushing things out and then taking, like, this movie, we'll get into budget with this movie. You know what? Screw it, actually. We'll get into it later. But the whole thing being, you know, like, we do better with streaming services sometimes.
I think that as a collective whole, I think you're right.
I guess what comes out on streaming tomorrow, Abigail, which has been out for like a month. Abigail's already on streaming services. And it's just like,
I'm so excited.
I wanted to see Boy Kills World not playing at the Alamo by me, and while they play movies like Alien and The Mummy. And I went and watched The Mummy, don't get me wrong, but like I would have gone and watched Boy Kills World instead. And it's just like, we're playing Alien from 1979 instead of like movies that are there. Like, and it's just like,
I want to see Boy Kills World so bad. And then on top of another one that's happening is, and I know that this will like hit some people in different ways, but The Crow From what I heard, they're trying to do like the, you know, celebratory. Yeah.
It's 30 years. Stream. Yeah. It's 30
yeah.
years.
Yeah. Or the like in theater showings. And I don't know if it's roughly the same time as the Crow release or not, but I don't know. It just feels like theaters are doing a lot of like weird shit lately.
Well, I mean, we're in fucking May, right? And I don't think anything is like Fall Guys is a PG-13 rom-com action movie that should have made a boatload of money. And it just seems like theaters aren't doing great this year in general, right? Like,
yeah,
no, they're not. The Crow came out in 1994 on May 11th. So 5 days from what we're recording right now would be right. the actual 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
And they did delay the new movie until August, I believe.
When was it supposed to come out?
Probably by now, I assume. I can't remember though.
I think that movie looks cool, but like, dude, like, I don't know. It's a weird thing with movies like this year because we're in May. We only have one Marvel movie this year. That is Deadpool.
That's okay.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with that too. What I'm saying though is the theaters are weird right now, and I don't get like we have what's gonna blow up this year. Like we have the Planet of the Apes movie coming out.
That'll probably do. I would imagine that'll probably do all right.
I don't know how much Kong versus Godzilla made.
It's done pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't like, but like, man, it is just, there's been some cool fucking movies coming out and they haven't done shit. And you just go, and then obviously we've had some terrible, I don't know if you guys saw how badly people are tearing Tarot apart. Tarot's not supposed to be very good.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
It's the movie with the fat guy from the Spider-Man movies with Ned. I think
Ned. Is, yes, yeah,
is I mean that's he's the only like semi-known actor in that movie, and so like that movie bombed real bad.
Godzilla Kong: New Empire made $547 million so far globally.
So by far the biggest. That's got to be the biggest movie of the year.
It's got to be the biggest film this year so far. Yeah, it has to be. There's
I don't
just
know.
No possibility that it's not.
And I don't even think. I don't think Deadpool versus Wolverine tops that, right? Because Deadpool versus Wolverine is R rated. I mean, it can make.
It will. It will. It will.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
I don't know. Maybe.
Hopefully. Why would it not?
Because
considering
it's already...
how much. Yeah, but look how much money the first movie's made. They made more than that.
Yeah, but also this movie is still out, and that will probably it'll probably get.
Oh, yeah, but it's slowed down a lot, dude. It's slowed down a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. It's weird.
When does Deadpool Wolverine movie come out?
July.
July?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to make a shitload of money, man.
I know it's going to make a shitload of money. I'm not arguing with that fact. I'm just
wondering. Oh, it'll beat Godzilla and Kong 100%. I don't see any reason why it wouldn't.
I mean, I don't know what else is like for like what we can come like big movies this year. I like there aren't that many like blockbuster feeling movies, right? Like
I'm just going to throw this in there really quick just to squeeze in. I was looking this up while you guys were talking. As far as ticket sales and stuff for movie theaters, I just for my own desire to know, the drop off in 2020 was so astronomical, and it's starting to slowly come back. But 2019 before the drop was 1 billion.
Okay.
No.
It's got to be more than that. 1 trillion.
No, 1 billion. Tickets sold. Sorry.
Okay.
Run as oh, okay. 8,000. Yeah. So 1 billion tickets sold. And
the whole year?
The whole year.
Okay.
And then in 2020 it went down to 219 million.
I mean, that makes sense because most theaters shut
right
down.
Because of COVID and
yeah,
everybody
there
was closed down.
And shit. Yeah.
But they're still not coming back. And this year, like, is projected to be higher than last year, and it's slowly increased. But it's nowhere near where it was in like even 95. Like we're not even close. Wow. So I think it's going to be really hard for people to continue to judge movies based on their box office growth or their box office gross. Yeah. Sorry. Because people aren't fucking going. Like, yeah, they're just not mean, going.
You're absolutely right. Just because a movie doesn't make a lot of money these days does not, it's not, that's not indicative of the quality of the film,
I mean,
by any means anymore.
But that's never been the case, though.
That is true, because if that was the case, Independence Day wouldn't have made so much fucking money.
I mean, Independence Day wouldn't have made that much money. I mean, fucking Five Nights at Freddy's wouldn't have made $250 million last year.
I didn't hate that movie.
I didn't hate it either, but it didn't deserve
it. It wasn't good.
Oh, there was a great example right there. I just said Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. That's one of the best films ever made. That movie flopped hard.
Shawshank, we talk about fucking... Let's just go back to Abigail, which should have made fucking, like... Double what it made, and it hasn't. And is that movie's fucking a ton of fun? Like, fucking, we talked about Immaculate last week, Ryan, and like, Immaculate was fucking fantastic. I was like talking about it.
Heard good things, yeah.
I was talking to a guy today about it in my Katie's stream, and he didn't like the ending, which I understand. That's fine. But like, Ken and I both loved it, and it's just like that movie made no money, and it's just like
none.
Sydney Sweetie's
from what I hear, the First Omen's actually good too, and that's not doing very well.
Not when it's the woman pushing out purple breast.
The purple titty milk.
Purple titty milk was not victorious. I don't know, man. It's weird because it feels like we talked about it a lot. Like, not in 2022. 2022 had fucking bonkers horror movies. Like, we had Barbarian and shit like that. Like, it was so such a good year for horror movies. And it's like, and so people are dumping all this money into horror, and then 2023 comes around and we have, like, you know, not as good, but we still have good movies. And it's just like, the best movie that came out in 2023 was like Talk to Me, which came out in like February or whatever it was. It was real early in the year, and it's just like,
that was a good movie.
Yeah, I really like Talk to Me. But like, now, like, I don't know, man. It's just Hollywood is this weird thing where, like, at the writer's strike last year, and then, you know, the actor strike that went along with it, that, you know, fucked up everything. All that stuff made it real hard. And then, like, we have, I don't know, it's just weird because we live in a world where entertainment is in a real weird spot, where it's COVID set up these weird expectations. Like, and it's the same with video games. If you know anything about video games, video game world is fucking whack right now, because unlike movie theaters, video games kind of skyrocketed in 2020 because people couldn't leave their fucking houses, right? And so these insane capitalistic fucking companies were like, we're going to make infinite upward progress, like profit. What? And have done all this shit. In the last couple of years, it's just been biting them in the ass. They've been firing people while keeping CEOs. I don't want to get started on that, but it's just like this weird thing. And Hollywood isn't that, I don't think it's in that spot, but I think COVID fucked it up so badly that it kind of jacked up what the movie experience is now. And I mean, you guys know it, like, you get these new movies coming out and it's like only in theaters, like, which was never they would say only in theaters, but now it's way much more of an emphasis when these movies don't, like, or just
well,
in movie
and I
theaters.
Mean, like, for me, because there's no movie theaters near here, like, if it's only in theaters, then I'm just like fucked. And I mean, I know that, you know, outlier, like, I'm kind of more of an outlier in that case, right? But like, it just let us have them on streaming.
You live platforms. You live in Letterkenny.
I do.
You know what? Okay. I'm going to use that, you living in BFE, as an example of this. Guess what? I mean, and I already referenced this movie. Five Nights at Freddy's came out last year and made $250 million plus and still was on streaming services day one. So, like, it's not like you can't have success. I mean, we've had plenty of things like the Halloween movies.
The Halloween movies still did. A lot of people obviously bitch about their quality, but both the Kills and Ends movies did really pretty damn well, considering they both released on Peacock the same night as the theater.
Yep. Exactly. Oh, yeah. And it's just like, I don't think that, like, I don't know.
Now, with that being said, though, let's take, we do have to mention a fair thing. Those movies aren't expensive. So could you do that with a movie that costs $230 million dollars to make?
You go back, and we're going to go dive into Disney, because Disney and their Infinite Wisdom, aka their fucking shareholding cocksuckers, that like decided that Kevin Feige wasn't doing enough and he needed to amp up his a billion fucking shows and TVs and movies, ultimately, you know, dipping in quality. And then they're putting these $200 million TV shows with six episodes on Disney Plus. They're not making their money back for that shit. And so, yeah, you're right. And it's that thing where you, it's a, I don't think the movie theater should be taken out of the process. Obviously, I prefer to see most of these things in the theater. But, like, it, I don't know. It, I think that, like, the ultimate, like, market of, like, just pirating these things also just kills the market for, like, people paying for these movies also. I mean, I paid for a couple of movies back in 2020 times while, you know, this shit was happening. But, like, I don't know, man. It's all fucking whacked. And these companies are doing shit that, like, they put them on streaming services, like, where I just mentioned Abigail, like, the next month. And people are like, okay, I'm not going to – I'm just going to wait because – you know how much movie tickets cost, and you know how much food in the theater costs, and you're bringing, like, your, if you fuck like rabbits and have 18 cum pets, you're going to need to, like, it's going to cost
Jesus Christ.
Totally I mean.
Way to describe children.
They're sex trophies.
If you're
whatever.
Shitting out all these little motherfucking...
Are they not cum pets? Because you cum, I mean... and then you have to raise
and
them like
you
a pet.
Pet them? Like, you pat them on the head?
I mean, like, if
you're
a good parent,
child,
good.
If you're a good parent,
good cum pet, good cum pet. Oh, you're such.
You know, I thought I was a horrible father for calling my oldest son a dildo one time when he was like 13 years old.
I want to know. I mean, I want you to.
I'm
run.
So glad I never looked at him and said, "You fucking cum pet."
You should have. Also, I want to remind you, I had a vasectomy, so I will never have children. So there you go. I mean, I don't know. I've been like the things.
I mean,
I
had one too, but it's just, you know. Five kids too late, four kids too late. Four,
guess how
four
many I have.
I got.
You are the example from the beginning of Idiocracy, Brian. Oh, you're gonna do it. No, six kids later. Okay.
Man, one of those kids is getting married at the end of this month. Man.
Brian is 87 years old. I know. So, yeah, Brian is the oldest man around.
It's fucking.
Guess what? I will. You know, I'm gonna be happy about not having cum pets until like I get into, stuck in a nursing home and I'm like, take
care of me.
More
cum pets are coming to visit me. Yeah,
take care of me.
You know, don't say that because I'm gonna hope it happens. Because what's gonna happen is when you're fucking 93 years old, you're sitting and you're laying in your fucking bed. What's gonna happen is like 187 fucking stained socks are gonna walk into your fucking room. Because that's where all your
fucking
kids.
Let's be fair. I don't come in socks. Why would you come in a sock? You could come in anything else. Why
okay,
would you come
wadded
in a sock?
Up Kleenex.
There you go. And I throw those away, and then they're gonna
a
come
series
up and walk
of towels. Back. We'll just crawl
we are the cum socks. We've come to remind you of your deeds. We are the cum socks. I don't even know what the fuck is going on. Okay, let's
I'm
talk about Lisa Frankenstein.
Song.
Unless anybody wants to talk about anything else, because I've hijacked this whole beginning of this podcast. But
no, it's fine.
I want to talk about what kind of socks people are coming into these days. Like, socks are not cheap anymore.
Especially mine. Because my sock game is like always on point. All my socks are fucking.
I'm usually wearing my Under Armour ankle socks because I get them at the outlet mall. But like, I'm all about my running socks, and those shits are expensive. Like, I'm. Right, I mean, I don't come in socks because I don't have the equipment, but.
You could, Ken. Don't you
I mean,
think about don't you think about that?
You can
squirt. You can squirt.
Very true.
You could squirt in socks if you believe, Ken. You could squirt in socks if you believe. So I want you
that's
to believe
true.
And
if
squirt in
believe.
The socks. I believe I can squirt. Spread my legs and soak the wall. I don't know what the fuck is happening today, but we are here.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
This is kind of why I love coming.
I mean,
I love
we know as you love come.
Being on this podcast with you guys, because you never really know exactly where we're going to end up. But the journey getting there is always a fucking blast.
We're going to end up in a closet filled with cum socks, and then here we are.
That's our version of Narnia. It's just it's a whole village of cum
all
socks.
Of Rod's little cum pets are just.
I'm not the one with five cum pets, Brian. That's you. That's you. That's the one who doesn't do. I mean, who has a breeding fetish? Not me. Not you. You don't. Have
it's not that
fetish.
I had a breeding fetish. I just really like the process.
I mean,
and apparently I was pretty good at it.
No one likes to come in a condom, so I understand that. So it makes sense. Okay, you motherfuckers. Let's talk about Lisa Frankenstein as we're 25 minutes in. Lisa Frankenstein starring I want to ask you both before we really dive into this movie. Why was Johnny Depp from Sweeney Todd in this movie? Like, or the most like Sweeney Todd looking clone of Johnny Depp that they could find that was in this movie?
Are you talking about Cole Sprouse's character?
I mean, I'm talking about the I don't know what the fuck his name is. I mean, his name
is he's called
That was Cole Sprouse. He's credited as the creature.
Yeah.
Who's Cole Sprouse?
His name is Cole Sprouse.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
he's
I got
one
that
of the twins. He was in Riverdale. He's one of the twins, one of the Disney twins from Sweet Life and Zack and Cody.
I don't know what that means.
Okay.
He's got a twin brother named Dylan.
Yeah.
I think it's Dylan anyway.
Or Dylan.
They hung out with us at the party.
He was in Big Daddy.
Yeah,
he was in Big Daddy. He was the one that he said he can wipe his own ass. His own ass.
Is he the little main kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Him and his brother, I think, both played.
They
that
rotated.
Role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They rotated. Okay, I just wanted
like
to know
they
why...
did with the Olsen twins in Full House. They rotated.
Correct. You know, where was anyone like celebrating when they could fuck those kids legally? Huh? Where's the sexism in America now? They weren't like fucking like
wait, for which kids?
What is happening right now?
Because both the sets of these twins were celebrated when they turned 18.
The boys did? Oh, that's what I was.
They're fucking hot.
Yeah, okay. They're very handsome. They're very good-looking young guys, yeah.
I never saw people watching having t-shirts like the kid in Cabin Fever like announcing the date that the Olsen twins were.
Well, that's because I think a certain demographic is probably a little more classy about their thirst for something.
Yeah, like not all, especially after some of the shit that's come out in the last month. But yeah, like we're not running around being like, ooh, little boys.
Are you sure? I mean, I've heard all the women talking about the lead singer of Bad Omens. I mean, I don't know.
Whoa, what's going on with lead singer Bad Omens?
The thirsty ladies, the baddies are very
I get it. Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, like, we're very thirsty. Like, don't get me wrong, but, like, we're not the ones who are, like, we're not running around being like, oh, my God, I can't wait for this underage boy to turn 18 so we could all lust after him legally.
I mean,
like,
yeah. So as we live in a world where Drake is getting called out for fucking underage girls.
That's why I'm saying, like, I can't really say much because there was recently a woman who was arrested for she was a teacher and she had been engaging in sexual acts with her students, her middle school students, utilizing things like Roblox to communicate, Snapchat. Sending naked photos of herself and then also physical interactions with these children, young boys, and she is now pregnant. And she is now pregnant by one of the children. So that's why I'm saying, like, I can't be like, oh, women never do that because they absolutely do. But I mean, the Sprouse boys are very cute and they're very nice. Yeah. They hung out with us at the Twitch booth 1 year. So
did you really?
Oh, that's very cool. Very cool.
So you hung out.
We taught them. We taught them how to play PUBG, and they left me with them. And I was like, I don't know how to talk to you.
How old is it? Are these two?
They are 31.
They were
born in 92.
What year did Big Daddy come out?
I don't know, like 90 or early 2000s, something.
I just had it.
I don't know. I'm very confused.
They were only
nine.
He was also, the Sprouse boys also played they played Ross's son in Friends.
That doesn't surprise me. You know that, Brian.
They were seven.
It shouldn't. As I've seen every Friends episode probably 30 times because I fucking love that show.
I've watched about probably 20 episodes of Friends, I think. I don't
know. You and I are going to spend a day together and we're just going to fucking.
We're going to fuck.
I think we should get together in person, get high, eat a bunch of junk food, and watch Friends.
Okay. Fuck yeah. I'm down with that, just not legally because I have a job. But.
Is it not legal there?
No, it's legal here. I mean, it was Colorado was the first legal state.
I was gonna say, what the fuck?
My job were not allowed because of the government. So yeah, this is what I was.
Oh yeah, you got one of them fucking stupid jobs.
I send stuff in space, so they want me to be sober or something. I don't know what the fuck it is. I just laughed as soon as like the because the zombie character in this film, which starts off as like he looks like a slasher movie like thing with a bag over his head, which was also very weird, but like turns into he looked exactly like Johnny Depp in mm-hmm. Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, what the fuck? Even the haircut, and I'm like, yeah, he turned into a very good looking dude. But I want to say, is this okay? This movie, if it was the reverse, if it was a boy with a female, would have been considered toxic, I feel like.
Okay, so yes. And there's there's that movie that Jennifer Lawrence did recently.
Yes.
That movie would have never come out had the roles been reversed. Exactly. Really quick, I don't know if we actually, did we do the synopsis of the movie?
No,
yet?
We didn't.
No.
Go ahead.
No.
Okay. A coming of rage story about a teenager and her crush who happens to be a corpse. After a set of horrific circumstances bring him back to life, the two embark on a journey to find love, happiness, and a few missing body parts.
Very well spoken.
Thank you.
I did not like expect a lot of things in this movie, including a tanning bed that like would heal.
That I love it so much. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you don't have to say sorry, Ken. You are allowed to talk on this podcast. You were part of this podcast.
I fucking love this movie. Okay. I love this soundtrack. I love this movie. It's so good. Like, I immediately put it on Spotify. Like, I found the soundtrack on Spotify and was like, yes, this is my life now. And it's so well balanced. Oh, it's so good. I love this movie. I know that a lot of people probably find it cringy. I don't give a fuck. Okay. It's great.
Not cringy, awesome. Not cringy. My only issue with this film, and I'll say this right up front, is that the relationship with they kind of weirdly like glorify the weird relationship that includes murder to get away with stuff, which is like the weird that like I don't. It was something.
Hey, hold on.
Don't be that person. Yeah, let's pretend for a second that these people that did get taken out were quality human beings.
They're not,
because they fucking weren't. Okay?
I'm not saying that they weren't, because I completely agree. But there was something off about like when like the second guy, he was a little like rapey was the word that that's not really
he was,
rapey.
He was trying to sexually assault her.
Yeah,
100%. He did.
Yeah,
he felt her up.
Yes, he did. He did.
And he forced her to touch
garbage
his
human.
Cock.
Garbage human being. The third guy who got his cock cut off did nothing wrong besides bang a hot cheerleader. Let's be real. He banged the hot cheerleader and got his dick cut off.
But he had a missing component, okay? Like, it's okay. Listen, here's the thing. I've got people like constantly lately. Sorry, I'm about to go on a tirade. There's people constantly lately that are like, I don't like this because this would never happen and blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying that's what you're doing. This is a movie. And you cannot take it as factual. There are a lot of really good comments on Reddit, though, about like some personality shift stuff, which we can get into later. But don't be that person, Rod.
Believe me, I'm the one running around calling children cum pets. I'm very like not very selective on this. And that was the thing. And that's all they was pointing out. There was this weird thing that I can't completely put my finger on between the relationship with her and the zombie boy thing, that like when the murders start happening, and the same thing that kind of happens in Sweeney Todd. You go back to Sweeney Todd where you're just like, this is not a healthy relationship. relationship. No, and it's not. And that's that doesn't mean that I don't like the movie, because I really dug this movie and I thought it was good. I thought it was funny. I thought a lot of the shit was really well done. I thought most of the movie was really well done. I think I saw people referring to, what's her name, the blonde, the main character, or what's her, the actress's name?
Catherine Newton.
Newton, yeah. Who was in Abigail and was awesome in that movie, and obviously she was also in Freaky, and she was in Ant-Man, and Quantumania has played the daughter for that movie. She replaced.
Yeah, what's Ant-Man?
What the fuck is that?
Shut up, Brian. So all this shit, I've seen people referring to her as a scream queen, and then like leaving Mia Goth out, which made me laugh because Mia Goth is
scream queen all day long. Holy fuck!
We got Maxine coming out this year.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's gonna be really fucking awesome. But like, I think that this movie does a lot that really, really well. It takes the Frankenstein thing and takes it like and modifies it in an interesting way. I think that I think that I keep referring to it like Sweeney Todd is a perfect example for a lot of the things in this, because of the murder that turns into something else because of everything else that happens in this movie, just in a much like a lower incidence, because this movie only has what, 3 kills? It's the
no, there's more than that, because I thought there were only 3 as well, but the cop is killed as well.
Oh, yeah,
and then the old man, I don't know if he's killed or just knocked unconscious.
How is the cop killed?
Either 4 or 5.
The cop picks her up and tosses her into the grave.
But she's not. She wouldn't be dead.
I mean, she might be.
Okay, even if you consider the cop, and then like he punches the old dude out, who kind of deserved it. But like, I don't know. It's not like it's a super violent movie or anything like that, right? And I want to say, we're going to talk about people who deserve to be murdered in this movie. The fat girlfriend or fat wannabe girlfriend that fucking date rape drugs her like 10 minutes in.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised she wasn't killed, to be honest.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, but also, she didn't have anything to offer the creature.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
because he already had taken an ear at that point. That would have been, and he had already taken a hand. All he needed was a willy.
I mean,
I guess in a way she does still kind of lose out, because she's never going to bang that guy, because it's clearly what she wanted.
I mean, she obviously, they almost sold her as the girlfriend in the beginning of the movie. Like, and I'm also the dude whose dick got cut off looked like he was about 35.
He was 35.
Ken, how old was that guy? Because that's my next question in this equation. Because
I'm looking now.
Oh, you got it.
He is one of those things where, like, you're like a high school actor that looks like he's like 25. That dude looked like he was 35. He didn't even look like he was 25.
Oh my god, he's close.
How old is he?
Find him.
He's 26.
Oh yeah, I see it now.
He'll be 26 this November. So
yeah,
no, he's not 35, but he's almost 30.
Jesus Christ, dude. I'm just like, that dude, I'm like...
He's cute. He's very, very cute.
He is really handsome. Cole Sprouse is older than him.
If I'm going to bang one of the guys in the movie, I'd rather bang the corpse from whatever. But, like, I don't know. Then I would just be like, I'm Scuba Steve! I'm Scuba Steve! I'm Scuba...
Well, I was just going to say, I saw something that made me laugh that, you know, Cole Sprouse has now played Frankenstein's monster and Frankenstein... in Big Daddy. Because the little boy wanted to be called Frankenstein.
He wanted to be called Frankenstein.
Yes. I haven't seen Big Daddy in probably 20 years, and I really do enjoy that movie. Like, that was like the golden age of Adam Sandler movies, and that was probably like
That was about near the end of his really good run of real good shit. I mean, he's done some really good shit, like Uncut Gems was fucking amazing, obviously. But
I still never watched that movie because I'm like, I don't want I don't want the stress and the tomfoolery of that movie.
So fucking good.
I'm like,
so fucking good.
I know nothing is gonna work out in this movie, and that Adam Sandler is gonna get screwed over, and that everyone's gonna end up not happy, and that's pretty much what it sounded like that movie was. So
it's really good.
Yeah, I this is the thing, man. If I want to watch reoccurring over the 3+ years of this movie, the movie that I've talked about multiple times, or like a movie that's just like stressed me the fuck out. Actually, probably the movie that stressed me the most while watching it for the podcast was called A Good Woman Is Hard to Find, which was Shudder.
I still haven't watched that.
Yeah, a Shudder exclusive movie that was way more like thriller than like horror, but like it was, and it is one of those movies that was like, the second it started was like, you're just like, and then goes for 90 minutes and you're like the entire time. And like, I enjoy the experience, and it's obviously memorable because that was like a pretty early movie on this podcast that we talked about. It's just like, man, you get that kind of movie where I feel like I'm going to have a fucking heart attack while like I'm watching. Oh, Brian, on a side note, I saw this today that Ric Flair admitted that in that last match he had last year, he had a heart attack. And
Jesus Christ.
And I'm like, the dude was like 70 something and having a wrestling match. I'm like, you dumb motherfucker.
He looked like he might have had something going on. He was carried aggressively throughout that whole match. Luckily, he was with three really good wrestlers, because Jay Lethal and Andrade and Double J are all really good still in the ring.
Yeah.
Ric Flair is not.
Nope. Hasn't been good for a long time because it's been old. Ken, I want to know. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, I was going to say there's a couple things I wanted to touch on. First of all, budget wise, the movie had a budget of $13 million. Box office only brought in $9.9 million, which goes back to our conversation previously. It is listed as a flop across the board. Which is pretty depressing. But I wanted to ask you guys about the opening sequence, because my personal opinion was it was fabulous. I loved the storytelling as far as the, you know, the like cartoon cutout type.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Super cool.
It reminded me of the animated sequences from those last couple of Harry Potter movies or whatever. Was it the last one?
Yeah.
That's what it kind of reminded me of. But like, They refer to that movie. I fucking forget what it was, but like, remember, did you guys watch Hugo?
I've seen it once, but it's been a very long time.
But the whole, the moon thing with the fucking bullet going into it and all that shit. Like, that like movie from the 20s is obviously the inspiration.
Oh,
for that,
yeah.
Which goes into even like Futurama, like when in the second episode of Futurama, they go to the moon and the moon mascot's got like a bullet in it and all like the same shit. It's a pretty iconic thing that like, but not many people have watched the actual fucking movie that inspired it, and that inspired a lot of this stuff in this film. I mean, she had the poster of it in her room, and like it
keeps, she mentions the director's name in the movie too.
Yeah.
Which I can't remember what it was.
Speaking of directors, this is a little disjointed conversation, but the director was Robin Williams' daughter, Zelda Williams.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know
there are little pokes and prods and things about her father hidden throughout the movie that are really cute.
And wasn't it written by the chick who did
Juno? Yeah.
And
Diablo
Body.
Cody.
Yeah.
Who wrote Jennifer's Body. Correct.
Yeah. Which is we talked about like movies not making money jack shit at the box office, and Jennifer's Body will forever be one of those movies that got shit on so badly by the studio because they marketed that movie. That is one of the worst marketing blunder campaigns of all time, where they were like, trying to market it to horny teenage boys instead of like the empowering teenage girls, which they should have, which was what the whole point of that fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because like, I don't like Juno was pretty relevant when it came out, but like that movie feels like it's dropped off in cultural relevance ever since. And then, I mean, with Ethan Page being Ethan Page now and all that shit, I think that movie will even more be forgotten in the winds of time. But like,
probably,
I think Jennifer's body will stay way more, like, will end up being way more culturally relevant in 20 years than Juno.
And I it's already being recognized as kind of an overlooked anthem of, well, I don't know the best way to
put it. Female power.
Female empowerment kind of thing, yeah. It's such a fucking good movie. I love Jennifer's Body the second I fucking watched it when it came out. I love it.
I didn't see it in theaters because, like, it was one of those things where I was like, I don't know what the fuck was going on. And, like, by the time it got out of the theaters and people kind of started going, hey, this movie was really good, it was, like, too late for that. But, like, yeah, it's one of those movies that, like, she's written some fucking really good scripts, and I feel like this is another really good script. I think that, like, I think, like I was talking about earlier, I think there are, for me personally, tone whiplashes with it, and that's a lot of the, I think the horror comedy stuff is a little weird on the comedy side of things for me personally, but, like, I really did enjoy it anyways. And I just think that, like, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on with fucking horror movies this year. I don't know what's, like, going on with the cinema. Like, Ken, you just talked about how, like, it's, we're on track to, like, make less money at the box office than last year. But, like, it's like, I feel like it's that weird thing where, like, you, if you don't have, like, 7 Marvel movies coming out, like, what the fuck is going on? And, like, I think the writer strikes and shit, like, that shut down a lot of last year. But, like,
it's a good conversation because it's interesting because Fall Guy just opened.
Yeah.
All right. That was, we're talking about a movie with Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in it. Two of Hollywood's biggest superstars. Ryan Gosling obviously was just in Barbie, and he just had the performance of a fucking millennium.
I just had a conversation about him the other day because, like, he pops up. He does, like, 2 or 3, maybe 4 movies where he's a massive heartthrob. You fall in love with him. Even when he's playing somewhat of a dick, you're like, oh, my God, he's the best. And then he disappears for, like, 5 or 6 years. And then he pops back up everywhere.
Yeah.
And then he disappears.
Yeah. But, he's... I don't know. It's just really weird because this movie, the Fall Guy movie, obviously it underperformed really badly. They had modest predictions for it, and they were, like, modestly thinking that it was going to hopefully make $30 million, and it only made $28 million.
And it's PG-13.
It's going to lose money.
Yeah.
With 2 of the biggest stars in Hollywood in it.
Yep.
So, what exactly is the problem then is that people weren't interested in the Fall Guy IP because it is based on a silly 80s action show with Lee Majors. I loved it when I was a kid.
I'd never even heard
when
of
I was
it.
A kid. You guys weren't even fucking sperm. But it is a show that I grew up on. It was very popular, like, along the lines of it's very much in the cut from the same.
I really liked the Brady Bunch when I was a small kid.
So, but it's cut from the same cloth as, like, the A-Team, MacGyver, Airwolf,
dude.
Knight Rider, shit like that.
Speaking of under fucking appreciated films, that A-Team remake was fucking great, along with the with Quentin Rampage Jackson on it, and that fucking movie didn't get the credit it got for being as good as it was, by the way. But that's a side point. But
I think it's better than what people give it credit for. But I actually don't think the A-Team movie was very good. It didn't capture the feel of the show at all. But that's fine. I mean, they wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to make a straightforward action movie. But I don't know. I don't know. Now, with that being said, the Fall Guy film has been reviewed quite well.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as critically anyway, I don't know what the audience thinks of it. There's not many people to ask because nobody fucking went and saw it. So, what could possibly be going on right now that is keeping people from going and spending money in the movie theaters?
I think a lot of it is that we're burnout. We don't have those places anymore they're called third homes, I guess, is what they're, or third places, because you have you know, your house, your job for those that go into offices. And then we used to have places like bars or coffee shops or like all these places that we would go and meet up with people, but we don't really have those anymore because we can't afford them. They're too like uncomfortable. Like we've kind of developed this weird thing, and movie theaters were one of those, and people don't want to do it anymore. They don't want to be around other people. They don't want to spend the money. They would rather, if they're gonna see people and hang out with people, they'd rather do it in their own home so they can talk and like actually spend time together than if you just go to the theater and watch a movie in silence or talk throughout it, you know, whatever.
The irony in this is, A, you're probably absolutely right, and I completely believe that. But what's ironic about it is that now, if you wanted to go somewhere and not be around people,
the theater's where to go.
Theater's the where to go.
Yeah. I saw, let's see, there were quite a few movies that I went and saw by myself.
I used to go all the time.
The year before. Mm-hmm. And then I started going to this little indie theater in Knoxville. It's a one screen, tiny screen place. Super cool. And that one was nice because there were people, but it was so small that like you didn't feel like overwhelmed. Okay. And I do think that people are going to miss out on a lot of that theater experience by not going. They're going to miss. And we've talked about that on the podcast pretty extensively because like you get a whole different feel. A movie can stay in your memory completely different based on just audience reaction alone. Mm-hmm. And I do think that some people are going to miss that. But like, if I can watch it at home,
dude.
I mean, you are a bit of an anomaly to the typical person though, because of your circumstances.
Because of my location and everything. Yeah.
So but, I completely understand why you would be like, man, fuck that.
Yeah. I say all the time, two of my favorite movie experiences when horror movies were Blair Witch Project in a full theater and Paranormal Activity. Because
Paranormal Activity.
Were you alive when the Blair Witch Project came out, motherfucker? Who keeps calling me an old man.
Dude, I was 16 when that shit came out. I know you were
You were that old.
You were going towards AARP at that point, but like
So that means that you're only like fucking 3 years younger than me or some bullshit.
I was born in 1983, man. I'm 40.
You are only 6 years younger than me. You're not allowed to call me old anymore, you bastard. Because you I thought you were like solid 10 years younger than me.
Rewind. I thought that you were older than 46.
I'm 40. I'll be 47 in August. Now, why the fuck
Brian,
did you
still
think
look,
I was older than 46?
No, because in my brain, I was so blown away by our age gap. And now I'm like, oh, that's, I mean, that's an age gap, but it's not.
How old are you?
I'm
34.
Ken was born in 1990. She was born in. Well, so we have a 70s baby, an 80s baby, and a 90s baby.
Born in 1990.
Ken, yes, you were born in 19.
That is kind of cool. We do got three decades of different babies up in this bitch.
Okay. So
don't... you're not allowed to call me old. Ken can still call me old.
No. and what are the. I mean, let's be real, too. Like, I only go to Alamo Drafthouse because I don't want to deal with people in normal theaters. And you guys can be more fucking talking about that because like a non Alamo theater that people are on their cell phones and shit. Yeah. Is not.
See, I don't typically go to big chains either because the one I like to go to in Kansas City is called the Screenland. And it's on Armor Road, which means nothing to you guys, but it's like this really cool, it's been kind of gentrified, honestly, but the area itself is it's a really, really hip area to go. They got this at the Screenland, they got this fucking righteous menu where they make these gourmet grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh, hell yeah.
They're fucking baller, and they're all named after like various actors. Like there's the Jesus Christ, I can't remember all of them, but I always get the one that has jalapeno and bacon on it.
Oh, hell yes.
So good. And there's only two theaters. There's only two screens in it. So, it's a nice small joint. One of the theaters has couches up high off the and kind of off to the side, so you can like bona fide just chill on a couch. They got coffee tables in front of them. You can kick your feet up, watch a fucking movie, just like you'd be in your living room.
See, I'd be down for that.
Yeah, that's a, it's a really, really cool cool place to go watch a movie. That's where I go watch the vast majority of the movies that I go to. Now, when I had an AMC A-list membership, it was obviously different, because for $20 a month, I could watch 3 movies every week. So, of course, I was going there.
Right. It's $20 a month, or like watch like one movie a day. So
one movie a day?
Yeah.
Who offers that?
The Alamo Draft House. Yeah,
that's rad.
Yeah, but we tune that, and you go to Costco here, and you get $100 worth of gift cards for $75 for Alamo, so you can get food for cheaper too. So it's like
We have one in Kansas City, I think.
And you've never been there?
No.
You. Old man.
Did you just hear anything I described?
I heard
about how awesome that fucking movie theater was.
Alamo, let me describe Alamo. If you get on your phone, they kick you out. They have chairs that are fucking recliners. They have a little desk in it. You order burgers or fucking pizza or drinks, all that stuff. The Alamo is basically the same thing, but fucking cooler, because then they play cool shit beforehand. Like you go watch X there. When I watch X there, they play old 70s porno trailers.
They do
shit
the same
like
thing at Screenland.
So like it's like that, but they kick people out if you get on the phones.
Well, they do that at the Screenland too. So yeah. They do that at AMC also. They do that at AMC if you pick your phone up, because they're fucking scumbags.
When did they? I see all the other theaters. I thought there were like people sit there on their phones like tweeting during.
No. AMC, they've cracked down pretty good. So is B&B.
I don't even know what B&B is.
It used to be called Dickinson.
So the only ones around here are Regal and AMC. Are the only like,
Regal chains. And B&B? I believe are the same company.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
I think that the movie experience and that's kind of been the point I've been trying to make a lot of this fucking episode, is that like it's not worth like all the shit if you're gonna go in there and have people ruining the movie experience for you. Or
I mean,
like,
I can understand that. Yeah.
Whatever. Like I think that the people like us who are in there and like very tailoring our experience, like going to very specific theaters, so you don't have to like deal with this. Most people who are just like casual movie fans are going to just like, I'm going to wait for it to go on streaming so I don't have to deal with people's bullshit. And it costs me $10 for the streaming services for the month and not $40 for the tickets plus like whatever. Like,
yeah.
Like Pixar movies have been a shit show since COVID because of fucking like the whole thing where them putting on the streaming directly and people are just like, oh, just wait. And it's like, you've had really good, like, you know, Pixar movies that kind of get shit on.
Yeah.
And so it's like all that shit is just like, it's a lot of things. And so like I think that even this is like, I don't know, is the casual movie experience like being ruined for the masses? Because like, go back to 2022, all those really high quality horror movies that came out. I think 2023 went down a little bit in the quality of movies, like whatever, but like we're in May already in 2024 and nothing has done shit in like Immaculate and fucking people shit on Night Swim. I didn't think it was great.
I liked Night Swim,
but I liked it. I enjoyed it. I thought
You two are literally the only two people that I've ever heard say they liked that movie.
I'm so glad
somebody finally said they liked it, because I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, no, we both enjoyed it, and it wasn't like a masterpiece, but it's like it's the thing where like it wasn't like a PG-13 horror movie that felt like it was a PG-13 horror movie. Like it felt like it was like it had heart and stuff like that. That thing is great, but we both dug the movie. Like, and it's like, I don't know, man. I just think that like stuff like this, like Lisa Frankenstein, I think that like when it came to like
it's fucking loud.
Yeah, it was Brian's got pussy shots being shot to him like at fucking the
dick
middle of the
pics. Okay. Yeah, dick pics. Okay. I collect dick pics. Okay. All right.
I'll keep sending them, Brian. But like,
thank you.
This movie felt like the only people who, like, this was like, felt like another. I don't need to zoom in. Dude, I'm notorious, as Ken will tell you, how I have the
this
biggest,
is true. I
have the biggest dick on Twitch. But that's besides the point. But no, it's one of those things where it's like, when they take these movies and they put them in theaters and they put them in the theaters like 2 weeks or a month and don't give them time to actually, you know, kind of get the credit and get there going.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, what's the point? I mean, dude, like, what it's gonna, it feels like by the end of this year, like the biggest movie this year, like financially, are big things like Spider-Man, and like they're bringing, I know if the Phantom Menace was just like put back in theaters.
Yeah, that thing made $8 million.
Yeah, and it's enough wild. To make,
that movie is not good.
No, it's by far the worst Star Wars movie. And you,
oh
you
man, that, it, you might be right. I might agree with you.
That made enough money to put it in the top 50 movie like earnings of all time again. And so it's
I think
like,
it was number three in domestic, wasn't it? When, yeah, or no, I think it was number two.
Enough to make it that they put it back in the top 50, like I said.
Yeah.
So, of all time again, it's just this is this weird thing where I think we've kind of like stoked around and we should probably go and talk about the movie better for a couple minutes. But like this movie deserved to make way more money than it did. And it's
yeah,
that,
I agree.
It's that thing where, dude, I feel like we've been saying that a lot, Ken, as we've been diving into these like 2024 horror movies. Immaculate was like that. And fucking, it's just like, what are we doing, man? What is like, and like you're talking about the Fall Guy. It's just like, it's been a weird fucking.
Nothing is catching on for some reason. And I think that some of it is people have gotten so used to franchises that a new IP, a new flagship movie or anything that's just in and of itself just doesn't stand a fucking chance this day and age. And it's kind of sad because I think that and honestly, I blame Disney. I blame Marvel. That 10-year stretch, don't get me wrong. Like that fucking 10-year stretch of the battle between like the Avengers and the Thanos dude, like that was all fun. It was fun. But honestly, I think that formula and the has created and it has imbued a need for connection in people's desires to watch film. It's unhealthy for the box office because now people just all they fucking want to see is, oh, if I watch this movie, fucking Iron Man might show up in the post credit scene or some stupid shit like that. Everything fucking needs to be connected, and that's why Universal tried to launch a Dark Universe. They failed spectacularly, but okay. They tried. I understand why they tried though. Because I think they saw the writing on the wall. Look, the only movies that fucking make money these days, it seems, are fucking superhero movies or connected franchises. Yeah. Fast and the Furious 36 when it comes out in fucking 2093. When Vin Diesel still fucking looks exactly the same. I don't know how he does it, but he does. That's gonna make a fucking $1 billion.
Okay, so now you bring that up,
or the equivalent of such in 2096.
We're sitting there in a movie in a year of 2024, the year of our Lord 2024, and we haven't had a Nightmare on Elm Street. We haven't had a Friday the 13th. We haven't had a Texas Chainsaw in the theaters for a decade, right? Like, I mean,
yeah, because Leatherface didn't go to the theater.
Yeah, and the
at least one, and if it did, it was very limited.
Yeah, we haven't had a Chucky in theater since
the Child's Play reboot.
Oh, I mean, okay, but Seed of Chucky for the mainline franchise, right? So like,
right, yeah, correct.
So all of these really really big horror franchises that started back in the 80s and that aren't doing, you know, these things like we have a Saw 11 coming out, dude, and I'm sorry, I will fucking die in the hill that Saw X was so overrated. I enjoyed the film, but the it's that shit where I feel like people are getting fucking jacked on shit that doesn't make any sense to me in fucking 2024, because as the people are Terrifier 2, oh, it's coming in my pants, oh. And then, like, the same thing with Saw X, where the movie was fine, but, like, oh, my God, oh! it's so good. Oh, it's like, it's.
I understand where you're coming from, but if you're, I guess you're probably referring to the fact that it had like, what, a 90% or some shit like that on Rotten Tomatoes or something.
I had people,
that just means 90% of the people that watched it, the critics that watched it, said the exact same thing you did. Oh, it was fine. It was good.
Yeah.
You know, and they gave it a So it is misleading when you see that.
But people go sit there going, it's the best Saw movie. I'm like, that movie couldn't hold the jockstrap of Saw. And none of the movies in that fucking franchise could hold this jockstrap of Saw. Saw is so far and above the rest of the fucking movies in that franchise that every time people are just like, and then like getting all
jacked. Oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. The first one is by far. Yeah. With that being said, I have actually not seen Saw 10 yet. I didn't care for Spiral, though. I thought that was fucking stupid.
I hated Spiral.
Spiral. So we talked about that in this podcast. Spiral was the most, I called the killer in that movie faster than I've ever called a killer fucking horror movie. But like, it's all these things where like, we sit there and we have this movie. God, we're going to talk about Lisa Frankenstein for about 5 minutes. But like, it is a thing where like, this movie is original. It takes the name Frankenstein but it's not a Frankenstein movie. It just takes that kind of concept. Takes that name because in like homage to everything. But like, why are these things that are like are fucking high quality shit doing things that like are? But let's go. Okay, I don't want to. I mean, you mentioned First Omen earlier. First Omen. Not exactly a beloved franchise outside of like horror fans, right? Like people, the Omen is a great movie, but like, other than that, it's not been gotten a lot of attention for a long time. It's a weird thing, like where a couple years ago we had all these really new cool things like Black Phone and fucking Barbarian, mm-hmm. two of my like favorite movies the last 5 years.
I know you guys like Barbarian.
Dude, Barbarian is great. You could blow me until the end of time.
I did not care for it. I thought it was okay, but that movie.
Listen, but let me ask you: did you go into it knowing anything about it?
No, not really.
Yeah, I didn't either, and I loved it. But like,
I wish I loved it, but the movie to me was just filled with this massive fucking plot hole that bugs the shit out of me, and I wish that I didn't catch it, but I just don't.
The plot hole for Brian was why no one was titty fucking the mama. He wants to know, and he did like nobody's titty fucking mama, and he doesn't. Okay,
because she doesn't give purple milk.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go. Okay, I'm cutting off this rant.
Let's talk about Lisa Frankenstein.
Can I throw a couple things in? Just a couple trivia notes. Okay, so one of the things that I don't know if you guys caught it, I caught it immediately, is when she screams like whenever Janet's getting back home, her stepmom, and she's like, "Damn it, Janet!" I immediately was like, "I love you.
I love you."
Yeah.
I just bought the Rocky Horror Picture Show soundtrack on vinyl.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot you just bought it. Yeah. So for those of you that haven't seen Rocky Horror Picture Show, I can't say a lot because I haven't watched a lot of like, you know, great films. But you should watch that and appreciate the entire thing.
I haven't watched that movie in 30 years, I don't think. It's been a long time.
Get your shit together.
Oh, we need to do that for an episode.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
No, we already have next week because Ken's never seen Ready or Not.
Oh, wait, I thought we were doing Abigail next week.
We could do Abigail next week, too.
Okay.
talk about both those movies.
It's our double feature.
Well, okay.
We've talked about 14 movies in this podcast. Yeah,
go ahead, Ken.
Oh, there's a lot of really cool stuff. There's two police officers in the film. Officer John and Officer Waters. Nod to the King of Camp, John Waters.
Yeah.
My thing about this was whenever she had him get in the tanning bed to get shocked the first time, I squealed. I was so excited. I don't know why, but like for whatever reason, that just tickled my brain in the best way possible. Like when she got on it and got shocked, I didn't think anything of it. I was just like, whatever. But when she had him get in there, I was like, because apparently there are people in this world who don't know shit about Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and Frankenstein monster and don't understand like the bolt's significance and everything. And I'm like,
Yeah, it's a very good, it's an homage, but not, like I said, it's not,
It's well, great because it's like a more modern, but even then, you know, dated because 1989.
Right.
It's still, it's so great.
I'm a sucker for anything 80s aesthetic.
So oh, that's another
everything
thing
about this movie is so appealing to me because
the colors, the soundtrack, which
the soundtrack, girl. Oh my God. See, I'm a sucker for a great soundtrack, and I've been looking for this on vinyl, and I did find it, and unfortunately, the soundtrack doesn't have every tune on it, which is fine.
But I'm still buying
the motherfucker.
The Spotify playlist soundtrack is laid out so great because it does a classic song and then like a rap rock song and then a classic song, like in the order, you know, the way the movie does it. But it's so well done. And I turned it on and was just like, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Thank you. Please. Please.
Dude, the covers, even the covers they have in this movie, like, are fucking fantastic. Like, the whole soundtrack is just, like, wonderful, right? Like,
and yeah.
I can keep going. You're getting excited, and Brian and I have been, like
derailing the fuck out of you, unfortunately.
Oh, I was just going to say, the colors and the lighting in this, I wish Josh was here to discuss that, because, like, I feel like he would have come all in his pants over just the lighting in this. Yeah. Maybe not, because he's more of like the artsy side, but I loved the art. I loved the color. I loved the little things. I'll be honest with you. If I was in like high school and saw this, I 100% would be drawing a lightning bolt on my wrist with a Sharpie or on my hand.
Yeah. Was I the only one watching this who got, who kept thinking of Beetlejuice too? Like, especially when she starts dressing all gothic, like when she starts wearing her
she was definitely putting off some Winona Ryder vibes from the god dang, what the hell was
how old is that name? How old is that woman that played the
Winona Ryder?
No
right now,
no, god damn it, the chicken Fleece of Frankenstein,
Catherine Newton. She's like 25-26.
Okay. She pulls off the being a high schooler better than the guy who got his cock cut off. But
yeah.
What? The poodle comes and sits next to me and then stares at me and demands treats. She's like, Daddy, I would like treats now. Ken, what else? What else? I know there's more things you wanted to say over there, Ken. So I wanted to make sure you got all your stuff out before we wrapped up.
There was just, in my honest opinion, this movie was great. I think, I hope that it becomes a cult classic down the road. I would like to feel like it would. I'm really excited to see more work from Zelda Williams. There's a lot of like back and forth regarding Zelda Williams directing. A lot of people really liked it. As far as her directing, there was there was a whole thing that of "Don't you start, buddy. I see you." Sorry, my cat wants attention. There were a lot of people that were talking about that, like, maybe the way that they saw the movie going as they were watching it was that the creature was more of a self-reflection of her and like her own projection as like she started to take her power back over time, because, you know, she went from not speaking to and being shy and meek and a pushover to like slowly getting that bit of her back. Mm-hmm. And it seems like she, you know, she's speaking more. She's kind of coming out of her shell. She's being more, you know, for herself. And they were like, you know, we expected her to just realize he wasn't real. Like, you know, that this had been all some type of illusion. And they were disappointed that that wasn't the case, which is a great sounding movie.
Mm-hmm.
But no. Great sounding movie. Absolutely.
Well, dude. I mean, I think that you could have a comparable movie in Frankenhooker, like that. I mean,
I haven't seen that in so long,
dude. I watched half of it and zoned out like a couple, like probably 6 months ago for the first time. complete, but it's the same concept, like, but backwards, right? Where, like, the guy does something and then, like, makes this thing to put his girlfriend back together, and it's kind of got that same kind of, like, Frankenstein feel, right? And, but it's that thing where, like, when, it's that weird, you know, and I'm okay with this because it makes me laugh, but, like, when a guy does something in a movie, and I kind of brought it up earlier, it's looked at differently as like, I mean, we were talking about what teachers doing, women doing shit, fucked up shit in real life, and comparing to men doing fucked up shit, and how men mm-hmm. doing fucked up shit gets way more attention. Rightfully so. Men have been doing fucked up shit for the history of human beings.
We're kind of fucking shitbags. Yeah,
and we deserve it. But, like, it's always an interesting thing where, like, you have this thing where, like I said earlier, if this was a man and, like if it was, like, Bob Frankenstein doing these things in this movie, I don't know. It would have been way, like, shit. Because if a guy's fucking a dead body, it's whatever. But if a girl, it's that weird oddity of a lot of these things. And I think that, like, I think movies coming out like this and, like, kind of empowering women, I am completely for. Like, that's, like, Diablo Cody, like, her, that's, like, all her stuff is really, like, empowerment of women. I mean, that's what Juno was.
Yeah,
and a lot of
she's
stuff.
Written a lot of really, really cool stuff. Like, you know, she's an uncredited writer for the Evil Dead reboot that came out in 2013.
I have a question for you guys.
What's up?
Mm-hmm.
This movie was rated PG-13. Do you think that it would have been even better if it had an R rating?
No, because...
No. I agree. I think it would take a lot of the, like, not cuteness, but a lot of the kind of, like, dark bubblegum feel
gotcha.
To it.
It's got that Beetlejuice. I really, it was not the first time I mentioned Beetlejuice. It's that Tim Burton kind of feeling. I thought this had an R rating to it, to be completely honest. I mean, it even has her fucking, like, coming to the massage thing from, like, you know, whatever, but, like, but they don't. That was probably the laughed out hard the loudest when she comes and her dad's like, huh? She's like, oh,
well,
God!
He'd never heard that before.
Yeah. Dude,
ever.
Dude, why do you think that bitch was so cranky and wanted to lock up?
Oh, Carla Gugino. I want to talk about how good she is in this movie because she's good in everything, but we don't get a lot of opportunities to see her in a villainous role.
Yeah.
She's so fucking awesome in this. I hated every second of her face. Like, and that's hard to
I
do.
I love her.
Because she's beautiful. Yes, I love her to death. I love everything she's done.
Dude, she was.
Including this. And she's such a bitch in this fucking movie.
Mm-hmm. When she's through, like, I kind of get, like, a lot of her outbursts earlier in this film. But what, like, the whole, she's going to lock up the girl. Because she's got, let's be real, Lisa Swallows, which, by the way, I don't know, I think I mentioned it, is the best name ever. But, like,
it is a great name.
She, like, she's, like, smashing her Hummels, like, which, like, in the back in the 80s, Hummels, my mother still to this day has Hummels sitting there. They're worth, like, probably a lot of money. And smashing her Hummels, and everybody's like, and she's like, Lisa's kind of a bitch about it, and because she's not, like, telling her what really happened. And you're just like, man, but that fucking the scene where she gets murdered, you're just like, you're sitting there going, but, like, you're talking about locking this bitch up and, like, saying all these really mean things, and it's like, I kind of understand she's like this, but, like, you're crossing the line over to being a cunt, and like, that's why you got a sewing machine up on top of your head. And I don't know, man, it's just like that stuff is just like, it's one of those, it's like all that stuff in this movie where, like, you just kind of, like, in, it's that, Ken, you pointing out it was PG-13, I didn't even, like I said, I had no fucking clue. It that makes it even more feel like a Tim Burton movie. Like, it, mm-hmm. that the kid being dressed up like Johnny Depp is, you know, like, makes even more sense now. And, like, yeah, it feels like an R-rated movie. Like, it doesn't feel like it. It feels like that weird, like, thing of, like, streaming movies that don't really have ratings anymore. Like, we talked about.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the things we talked about, I don't know if you listened, Brian, when we talked about Cobweb, where Cobweb was, like, one of those weird movies where it's, like, PG-13 or, like, for the whole movie. And then, like, they're like, no, look, we need gore and bad CGI monsters at the very end. And this movie just is, like, that doesn't do that, where it's, like, just like that PG-13 kind of movie the whole time. I still don't get how he started talking again because he didn't get a lecture. Like, when did he transition to be able to talk? That's the like that last scene where he's like reading to her when she's all wrapped up because she got like whatever. When did he learn how to talk? That's what my next question.
I don't know.
That was my question. And then my other question is, of all the ways for her to die and then be brought back, catching on fire seems like a poor choice. I don't know. Well, she probably planned on just being electrocuted to death. But,
yeah.
You know, how do you, like, you know, for him, they were able to cut off a hand and reattach it. They were able to cut off an ear. You can't just skip. Well, I guess
you go to Arby's and you get a roast beef sandwich.
Yeah. Well, you'll notice that every time she shocked him in the thing, like
he improved.
Part of him grew. It, like, obviously, yeah, the hand, you had to replace all of that, and you had to replace things that were gone. But I feel like if it was there, it was like it was being reborn because he started to develop them awful, fantastic mutton chops.
Where did he put her back in? That fucking thing burned down.
I mean, there's other ways to electrocute people.
I think pretty much every tanning bed sold in the 80s did that. Yes. So they probably just went a few blocks down and found another one.
Okay. I have to say, the other thing that this movie reminded me of, well, before we wrap up, this movie reminded me of Under Wraps, like for the first, like the Disney Channel movie, where it was like the
I don't know what that is.
So Under Wraps is about a bunch of kids who like accidentally wake up a mummy from a museum, and then the mummy's wandering around. And the early scenes of him wandering around the house, like, God, that very much really remind me of that.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
The only reason I know is because of my ex. That's the only reason I know about that things. Okay. But which they've actually then they rebooted it because that's how old the original was. I think the original is from the 90s. I don't know. That's just reminding me of. Okay. Anything else that we want to talk about before we wrap up?
I just want to point out that people on Reddit are talking about how bad the soundtrack is, and those people are stupid. I don't typically say that about people, but that those people are stupid.
They stupid.
I don't know, man. The Reddit crowd sometimes, you know.
We were talking about, you missed it last week, Brian, because the Reddit crowd was very angry. You go to r/Catholic or whatever. They were very, very upset about Immaculate. And Brian, I kind of want you to watch Immaculate before we do another episode and tell me.
Okay,
what you
think. I can do that.
Yeah. But because Immaculate is, whoa, that is what I heard someone talk about. It starts off very much like the First Omen, but the ending of that movie is wild. But yeah,
I've been wanting to watch it. I really have. Like I said, I wanted to come on about it last time, but I was just unable to.
You were at Monday Night Raw. You were going in Raw.
I was doing the yeet. I was yeeting when Jaden Sewell came out. I was yeeting.
Okay, Ken. Yeah. Anything else you want to bring up with us before we go?
No.
I want to kill everyone that says that the soundtrack was bad. I bet there's all
the
fucking
soundtrack is so good.
Stupid. What's the generation after millennials? Anyone saying that is probably the ones after that.
Z? No.
Is it X? Or I don't fucking know.
No, whatever. X is before millennials. Wow. I can't. It's Z.
Z. Oh, yeah. That's what it is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Anything else, Brian?
No. Thanks for having me on.
Of course.
Thanks for coming back. And you'll be back next week. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the open invitation. I'm just going to start dropping in every Monday.
You
can
do
basically
it.
Telling you guys right now that I'm just officially part of the podcast.
There you go. Yes. Okay, Brian. Works for me.
That's how I came on.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's how Ken, and then we were like, Ken, you're official. So let's then do Abigail, and then I guess we could do Ready or Not after that, because Ken's never watched Ready or Not. But because there is a very much reoccurring death in both of those movies where that, like,
anything by Radio Silence, I take it. Is that what you're kind of getting at? Because I'm looking forward to watching Abigail a whole lot now.
You've seen Ready or Not, right?
I own Ready or Not. Yeah, I love it.
The you know what happens at the very end of the movie?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay, then you'll understand when watching Abigail.
Fuck yeah.
Because
okay.
What happens at the end of that movie happens repeatedly throughout this movie. Abigail. So yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So we will watch Abigail next week, which is on demand starting tomorrow, which is the 7th of May. So, yes. Okay. So, go watch that. Brian, plugs.
You can also catch me every other Monday on the We're Gonna Make You Watch podcast, where me and my buddy Isaiah introduce my best friend Warren to horror movies that he's never seen.
What's the latest?
The latest one we just recorded was we made him watch Prom Night, actually.
Why did you do that?
Because I want to make him watch Prom Night 2.
Okay.
And you have to get through.
No,
sometimes
no,
you have
don't.
To. Hey, sometimes you have to live through some rainy days in order to appreciate the sunny ones, Rod.
Okay? You maybe, but those movies have nothing to do with each other. Nothing to do with.
They
each
are
other.
Both called Prom Night. One of them is Prom Night 2. Okay, I so know. They definitely have something in common. They yeah, both they take do. Place at Hamilton High School.
Dude, Prom Night, that movie. Is so,
that's so boring.
I do not.
Boring. And he didn't hate it. It was very funny. He didn't hate it, but he said the same thing. He was just like, dude, nothing happens for like a fucking hour in this movie.
Between that and
you're basically watching what I described as Fast Times at Ridgemont High without the awesome comedy. Yeah,
it's with really bad disco music.
It's disco slasher. Yeah.
Between that and Terror Train, I'm just like, Jamie Lee Curtis was in some fucking shit slashers right at that point, man. Yeah. Jesus Christ, she was in some.
It's funny because you forget because she's had such a long career, but you forget that for like the first almost 10 years of her career, she did so many fucking horror movies.
Dude.
Like, it's nuts.
Dude, and all the ones that get credit, while The Fog gets no credit, and that movie's fucking bomb. Fucking
dude, The Fog is probably one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah, that movie.
Not
great.
To be confused with Fog City.
Fog City, Fog City,
Fog
bitch.
City, bitch. Fog.
Brian, you don't ever want to watch that movie because Josh was like, "Let's watch Fog City." Oh, the only good thing about the movie are titties. The only good thing.
There's nice cars, but that's where the entire budget went, was running those cars.
Ken has continue.com while she's building a peasantville of her manor. What's that game called?
Manor Lords, but just as a heads up, it is early access and it has memory leaks to the point that my computer crashed during the stream today. But it's still a kick ass game.
Was that what made your computer crash? Was the memory? Oh, Jesus Christ. So go watch Ken at twitch.tv/continue and go to continue.com and find all our stuff. I'm on Instagram and Twitch at Rod_Johnson, and you can buy my book on Amazon, The Death and Rebirth of Your Human Heart. So go pick that up and go do your shit. And I think that's about all. And we will do Abigail next week. And if, like, for some reason that doesn't happen, we'll watch Ready or Not. But I think it will be Abigail. So we love you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back, Brian. And we'll catch you soon.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Bye.